Podcast meeting brilliant minds and looking at the world around them. How do they 360 themselves and 360 the world? Jamie Neal, the host, asks many questions about their mindset and how they fundamentally operate their world and the world around them. Hello and welcome back to 360 Yourself. I hope you're having a beautiful morning. I'm back in Devon, as I keep saying, I'm back and forth between London and Devon, enjoying the highs and the rushes that London life can give you in the city. And then also kind of the slowness, the nice pace of enjoying green grass and the sea. I hope you're also getting your fixes about enjoying going out into the countryside. If you have a car, you can drive out to Brighton, or if you're listening to me in like America, maybe you're in New York and you go drive to the Hamptons, or if you're in LA, you can drive out to kind of Santa Monica and enjoy the sea. Basically, just getting outside of your normal routine, I think at the moment is really good to really see nature and see the earth and see the sea, basically. So something I've been talking about recently is about uncertainty. And we're in this weird, very strange period where, like, we suddenly were out of lockdown and then suddenly we have new restrictions, especially in the UK at the moment. I don't know where else in the world that we have, but especially in the UK, we have these very strange restrictions, and we're technically might be going into a second lockdown, and that's a bit mental. So what I want to think about is sometimes uncertainty is a bad thing, but sometimes it's a good thing because it reinvents itself and it makes you delve deeper into going into faith. Not faith as in religious faith, but faith that everything will be okay. And you have to root yourself in the kind of faith of what is going to happen will be. And I want to talk about the kind of a difference between faith and belief, and something that I read recently, and it says this: beliefs comes before faith. All abstract knowledge is based on belief. Faith is related to belief because it supplies the conviction that a belief is true. So I want you to like have a moment just to think about, what is your belief? What is your faith? That what do you believe that will happen? How do you root yourself? Because I think you can get so overcompensated of your thoughts, and we overthink and we think about the worst things, but actually just having that root faith that everything will be okay. This is what it is. This is our present in the moment, but just think about the present and think about how can I facilitate and calm myself and find calmness and breathe and just believe and have faith that everything will be okay. So moving forward, I hope that helped you, and if you're in a bit of a headspace. But moving forward, I have an amazing guest, which I'm so excited to talk to, because she's done this most amazing career, and she was like a basketball player, and suddenly she's now in creative, and she's in marketing, and she has the most amazing title, which I want to read out, because we will touch upon it in our podcast. She's the Senior Creative Director, Global Creative Content Marketing. Just take that in for a moment. We will talk about this, what she actually does within the company. But I want to say, hey to Kira Karlstrom. How are you doing?
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
No worries.
It's really exciting to be on the podcast. I've listened to quite a few episodes, and honestly, I'm just excited to talk to you, really.
Thank you. No, when I first came across you and everything that you've done, I was like, this woman's incredible. Like, she's had such a diverse career, and I just want to touch upon the basketball thing. That's my first question. So I always go back to the beginning, and I always go, how did it happen? I'm never really interested where you are at the moment. I'm always interested about the journey. So take me back to the beginning. Are your parents or family, are they into the kind of creative arts, or does your family are into basketball? How did that all happen?
Well, short answer is no and no. Neither of my parents were athletes and neither of them were artists. My mom was in the nursing field and my dad was a police officer and then in the automotive industry. And I think growing up, I grew up in a town called Clarkston outside of Detroit, Michigan. And basketball was never, I didn't start basketball until I was like 11 or 12, which was really late for someone who ended up playing Division I and then professionally. So I think in the beginning, I started as a dancer. I was really athletic. And I think ballet and dance really contributed to my basketball career. Mm-hmm. But I ended up going to a friend's house and my friend's dad was coaching them. I got there a little bit early for a Gus Macker tournament, which in the US back when I was a child was a 3-on-3 tournament. And they were practicing in the driveway. And I just kind of fell in love with like what they were doing and the strategy. And my friend's dad ended up being like a CYO youth sixth grade basketball coach, and that's how I got into it. And I just kind of fell in love with like the competitive side. It was something that like I had goals and I could work towards, so it didn't really start as early as most people that ended up playing professionally, but it was something that I really enjoyed from a young age.
Right. And so how did you get into the kind of creative field from basketball?
I was always a Disney fan. I watched Wow. Disney movies and I used to try to redraw and trace the characters ever since I was little. I wanted to work on The Lion King. I used to write letters to Disney and say I wanted to be the next illustrator. Like that was something I did from as a child.
I wanted to be in Lion King. I wanted to be Pumbaa. That's what my dream was. And I was like, I don't think it's going to happen, but.
Hey, Hakuna Matata, right?
Literally.
Yeah, so I mean, I'd always really loved the arts. When I got to high school, there was an option to go to vocational school when I was a junior and a senior. And mm-hmm. so it was more trade school, but there was a graphic design class. So for part of the day, my junior and senior year, I went to this class and really learned a lot of the computer programs that were up and coming at the time and fell in love with the whole process. And I was at I was a freehand drawer. So that's how I got into college, was my portfolio of just like drawing.
Wow. It's funny because when I was at school, which is many, many, many moons ago, we obviously did like computer as a subject, and we had like, I don't know, word art or whatever it is, or paint. And we'd obviously do that sort of thing. And all my friends were like, this is silly. Why are we on the computer doing these design things and programs? Like, this is a nonsense. And then obviously what happened is that massively the design world took over. And now you have to be like at some level to be a designer. Like in if you're working marketing or advertising, you have... A lot of people who go to university have to have those sort of like core design skills. But when I was at school, it was not even a thing. Like, no one was like going, we need to do design on a computer. We were a bit like messing around, like drawing cats and stuff.
I think I learned in paint too, now that I think about it. Yeah, same. I mean, I always thought I didn't really know, I think as a child growing up, that everything was done in the computer.
Yeah.
Animation. So that process was really interesting for me to learn like what it actually entailed, hence why I've segued my career a little bit out of that. I'm not so much a designer in terms of that anymore. I mean, it's a very, very skilled, you know, skill for certain people to do that. But yeah, growing up, it was same for me. It wasn't really talked about as much, you know? Yeah.
So how did you kind of navigate going, I understand what design is, but I don't want to be a designer. I want to be a creative. I want to be the person that's making the ideas and do the marketing. How did that kind of segue into that? And how did you get started?
Yeah, so actually that is exactly how it started. I thought to be a creative director or an art director that I needed to start as a physical designer. And some people do. And I think sometimes it really helps to understand the programs and how to create design mm-hmm. in order to direct design. Mm-hmm. So there was a part of that. And because in college I was a designer, my first job out of college was with ESPN, and I was hired as a creative assistant. And the goal was to work my way up to a designer position once they had availability, because there weren't any positions open at the time. So I started off logo designing and learning a lot of like the creative suite, After Effects, Illustrator, Photoshop in terms of animation, because ESPN work being on air graphics was a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And I think just, you know, being an athlete and a point guard, I was really good at talking to people and giving presentations and just being really social. And a lot of our designers, you know, they just wanted to come in and do the work and be creative, but didn't want the pressure of like being in big rooms or crowds of people and having to talk about their work.
Yeah, they just want to sit there and just do it and then pass on to someone else and go, is that right?
Yeah, because, you know, some people, it is anxiety to like have to get up in front of a room of executives and talk about why this should be this color or why this look and feel matches this, you know, this particular show or feeling. And for me, that was really comfortable.
Yeah.
I had a lot of speaking in college, and when I played professionally, it was just something that came natural. So mm-hmm. I built the first producer position in the creative services team at ESPN, which mm-hmm. I was like, okay, there's a need. Like, I'm not a full art director yet, but I have the design skills, but there's no producers who kind of marry the teams and can kind of like take the creative and sell it in and execute it. So I went the route of the producer, and once I started really establishing that role and people felt comfortable with my creative side, then the art director role started. And so I really got away from the designing on the computer. Like, I knew how to do it and I knew how to work in it, but I loved so much more saying, okay, here's an idea that I have. I can't make it come to life, but you are so talented and you have your own ideas. Like, what do you think of this and how can we make it?
There's a book called Strength Finder, it's called, and it basically tells you your five strengths, and then it allows you, and then basically it gives you this ability to use your strengths in your life, and it basically strategizes it and all that sort of thing. And I've always been really good at like talking it. I'm like, oh, why can't we do Nike and doing a collaboration of Adele and then Mick Jagger and what sort of thing? But I'm like, I have no idea how it works and how it does, but it's just an idea, a starting point, and there's other people that do it. And I think you probably earlier on, you knew what your skills were. You knew that you were able to come up with an idea and go, yeah, I don't know how it kind of works, but this is a jumping point. And then I'm going to use your skills and we're going to collaborate together, but I'm going to be kind of like the launching pad for you guys. And you obviously knew that that was your skill originally when you first started.
Yeah, and I think that really came from basketball, right? Like understanding mm-hmm. and knowing your role on the team. And that you can't be everything, and that in order to be successful, you have to understand what everybody else's role are and how they work together and how you work with them. Mm-hmm. And that's really translated into my work experience as well, because it's like, I know what I'm really good at from my past. I know what I really love. Now, how can I transfer this into a job that I love and be able to collaborate with other people and create an amazing product?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, because obviously now you're at your Capitol Records, like how was music an appealing thing when you kind of years and years ago? Or was it just a job that came up and you're like, oh yeah, music, I could do that?
So music has always been a passion of mine. When I was in high school, I was the one on the tape recorder, like linear editing the warm-up tapes, and like I was the one burning CDs with all the new downloaded illegally music from like Napster.
That old software.
Exactly. But you know, people used to come for me to music, and I think it always influenced my life in some way. Like I truly do have a soundtrack. Like there's certain songs and music where when I hear them, I'm like, oh, I'm right exactly back in that place. Mm-hmm. And I started to see throughout my career, because I've had quite a few jobs, but I really think it well-rounded my experience as a creative and in the marketing sense. When I got to, I was at Comcast and I was working on the Xfinity brand, and I was in acquisition marketing, which is very traditional, like regional cable and internet marketing. So as creative as we could be, there was a price point on everything. And so there was a limit on how creative we could be. But what I realized, you know, I had some touch points on the Katy Perry, The Witness tour, and I'd work with Katy and other big artists when I was at ESPN doing show opens, like the open to College Game Day with Big and Rich, or Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas for NBA. So I had all these touch points throughout my career where music was a piece of it. And I just realized, you know, once I got into my early 30s, that this was what I loved the most when I was the happiest and when I felt the most inspired, and the thing that got me up in the morning was dealing with music. And I think part of that is because every artist, no matter what kind of music it is, every single, every EP, every album is different. And the artist is different every 3-6 months to a year, you know? So the product is always changing and evolving, which creates these like limitless opportunities for creative. Mm-hmm. And so I made a decision, you know, 2.5 years into my career at Comcast, and I was like, I want to work in music. I don't know anything about the label system. I barely know anyone in music. Mm-hmm. And I just started LinkedIn, connecting, asking friends of mine that knew people in the music business. And, you know, after about 4 months, I ended up at Capitol. So it was something that like I knew I wanted when I started to reassess my life and what really made me tick. And this is the direction that it led me. And I couldn't be happier. And I think like music is a forever thing for me.
Yeah, I same thing as well. Like if I don't hear the music probably every single day, I get really sad. I have like a little feeling inside of me that not everything is right. And I just have to listen to sounds. It can be anything from like Jay-Z to classical music, to musicals, to jazz, to funk, whatever it is. It has to have music. I have to have music around me. And also just another point that you reflected on what you really wanted and made a decision to go, actually, this is what I need to go down the route. And I don't think a lot of people do that. They just kind of go with the kind of route that they're going, and actually you were like, actually no, I've reflected, I really want to work in that environment, even though you didn't know that environment. You were like, I'm going to pursue that. And I think that's such an amazing quality to have as a person.
Yeah, I think, you know, we get in these points in our life where, you know, there's a lot of saying it's never too old to switch careers. And I always thought I was going to be in TV and film. And to some degree, there's some of that in the music, what I do in music now. But I, you know, there were three things that I sat down and I kind of created this own like mantra of change and how to attack it. And it was really, you know, researching and everything about music and what I loved about my life and what were the things that made me happy and passionate, and then making a commitment to that, you know, really, no matter what the ups and downs were, the bumps in the road, like there's going to be no's, but if this is what you want, you have to really commit to it and figure out how to take the next steps. And then, you know, having this positive attitude the entire time, you know, the attitude piece of it is everything. There's a lot of people out there trying to change careers or trying to move jobs, and it gets frustrating and down when people aren't giving you the looks or you're not getting the opportunities. But if you stick with it, I really am a firm believer that you'll run into someone or something that will put you on the right path to where you want to be.
Yeah, I mean, if you believe in manifestation or if you believe in good vibes, I truly, truly do. I think if you really think about it, it emulates into your space and people can feel it. And then something magical happens. And suddenly you're in a room with someone that's from a music label, whatever. And then suddenly you're talking about going, oh, I'd actually like to work in music. And this person goes, oh, hey, I work in a music label. And then suddenly you're having a conversation. Yeah. I think that's what it is. I think it's about really feeling it and thinking about it, and it emulates into your space.
Yeah, I did a lot of writing of, you know, when I was making this decision. And then I started to really write down the list of people who knew someone in the music industry or who worked in the music industry. And then it was like one person to the next person. And I really use LinkedIn as a big tool. I know that sounds a little odd because some people make fun of me, but the amount of people I've met and connections I've made throughout it, I think three of my jobs, my Comcast job, my Capital job, and my job in the VFX world in LA the first time were all based on LinkedIn connections, ironically.
Wow. It's amazing. I don't know who I can't remember who founded LinkedIn, but what an incredible program or platform to really connect people. I don't know anything apart from Facebook, but it's not a professional thing. Like anything that allows you to connect to people so far into the kind of diverse creative sector. It's really, really impressive how brilliant that you can just find someone who is in that field that you want to go into or that area of department and suddenly have a connection and then go, hey, I'm interested. And suddenly they're going, oh yeah, of course, we'll connect you to the boss or the department. And suddenly you have this new connection. I mean, it's incredible, LinkedIn.
Yeah, I mean, I'm using it now, and I think a lot of people are using it in the current state of the world. You know, a lot of people are out of work and have lost their jobs. And I love that LinkedIn has provided this tool. It's like even your profile picture can be changed to
I'm working or open to work.
Yeah, which is like really neat. And, you know, I never imagined growing up, because I didn't grow up with social media and you probably didn't either, but I never imagined a world where by the click of a button, you know, you could be put in touch with people I would have at 15 years old would have never knew existed or the types of jobs existed.
Yeah. And also just to, I've been looking at on the, like the feed and people going, I understand that a lot of people have lost their jobs, but feel free to reach out to me. And then you get these amazing people like messaging, and then these amazing people reach out to each individual and have this conversation. You'd never have that beforehand.
No, I actually have been doing that quite a bit. I try to take one call or email a week, and I actually had one with a writer this morning, and it's just talking to different people in the industry, whether they're looking for work or not, but just trying to, I think with all the things that I've learned and experienced, if there's one piece of like advice or something I've been through that can really help someone else, I'm always open and willing to speak to someone and try to help them in some way.
I mean, there's that saying about service though, and you can take the word service and think about as a, from a religious thing, service to God, service to whatever, but it's just about service to people. It's about how can I help people around me rather than servicing myself. As soon as you open your heart and open your door to people and you go, actually, how can I help you? You have this kind of connection that people just feel so joyful and fulfilled that actually you're giving a moment in your time. And it can be a really simple thing about reading an email. Like I was speaking to someone recently about, I wanted this creative director to look at some of my portfolio. And she was like, yeah, of course. I mean, anytime. And I was like, oh, amazing. Like you've given me just a tiny bit of your moment just to look at my work. And I think that's what it is about servicing.
Yep. Service is a big thing to me. And I think what you had said earlier about service being such a, it is a word that I think a couple years ago, I wouldn't have used it in the same way I use it now because it wasn't very inspiring to me. But the way I look at service now in a personal project I'm doing with my side company is service is one of the three pillars. It's service, support, and strength. And the service piece of it is servicing others in a way, whether it is a moment of your time, a donation, an encouraging word, anything like that.
Yeah, and just talk about your side company. So you're starting a clothing brand.
Yeah, so this is really exciting to me.
For you, it's a brilliant, brilliant project.
I'm really excited, I think, not just because of the clothing, but because of how I believe it can help people and how I really think it can scale and grow. Mm. The company is called The Survivor Society, and it kind of started, you know, I am 10 years cancer-free. I launched this on my 10-year anniversary, which was August 17th, and, you know, I wanted to do something big this year. I wanted to do something impactful. And I always wanted a clothing brand, like more of a lifestyle brand, like t-shirts and sweatshirts and comfortable clothes. And part of the reason that this idea kind of came about was when I was going through this process, and my mom and my brother were both diagnosed with cancer in the last year. And when I was looking, when my brother became a survivor after a surgery and stuff, the amount of like cool clothing that you want to wear and empower, I felt was limiting. I think there's an incredible amount of amazing organizations that make t-shirts for runs and different things. But I really wanted to create something being a designer and, you know, something that just every time you wore it, you felt proud or you felt proud to support something. And even though it's founded on the basis of cancer and basically it's really to unite, empower, and inspire every inspire every survivor battle that we're never alone going through these things, that we're all survivors in some sort of way. You know, it doesn't limit itself just to being a cancer survivor. You could be a survivor of racial justice or sexual abuse or bullying. So I think the ways that this brand can empower and impact people, not only by donations and proceeds from the line that people purchase, but also the stories that we can tell and the things that we can do in the community. And so I'm really excited about it. I think our first collection I'm hoping gets out the door the middle of October for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It's another really important cause and something I've had people really close to me go through. And I'm looking for really cool designs, and that's what I've been working on, things that people really want to wear and like feel empowered and cool in. And I think once this comes out, people will really be excited about it. I'm excited about it. I've been working on it for like 3 weeks now with an illustrator in London.
Yeah. Oh, amazing.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about it. And I think that's the other thing that's allowed me to like, I want every collection to have a unique twist on it. And so I want to work with different illustrators and designers. So everything looks unique.
Yeah. I was literally about to say that, but if you could connect it to your community who are also survivors of many different kind of things of cancer, of race, or whatever, and collaborate with them as designers. And so you have little capsules as well. That would be really awesome. But you've obviously thought about that. So.
Well, I think I needed, you know, to start a brand, I wanted to be single focus to make sure that the message was uniform and that the brand was really succinct. And I think that once you start there, you can start different verticals and pillars. And like, I know sexual abuse, that I want to say their awareness month is in April of next year, but I already have the designs because I had an idea that I wanted an illustrator to help me with that I'm so excited about. And even though it doesn't have to do with cancer, like the word survivor can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people.
Yeah. Amen. It really, really does. It does. And I think what you're doing just as a side thing, which will take off and it become its own amazing thing, is such an amazing thing for what we're going through at the moment as survivor of, I read today and one of my friends, like to think about like the COVID situation, he's lost a job, he's got a baby, he's got a wife, and they've had to sell their home and all their things and move back to the kind of countryside. And so that in that aspect, that's a survivor as well. The kind of the toughness of what COVID is doing to businesses and people and families, as well as people who are going through COVID and going through cancer and go through other different treatments and illnesses at the moment. I mean, survivor could be absolutely anything. And I think that's right. I think you're putting injecting goodness into a world in terms of this organization, this company. I think it's gonna obviously make people feel a lot better and put more goodness into the world. And that's what we need, more goodness.
Yeah, and that's really the goal of this, is just if it gives one or two people, I mean, if it touches one person or gives somebody some motivation, I think that's really the goal of it. And I do really believe that, you know, there's a lot, we all go through things. What, like, is bare minimum of people think broken hearts? Like, you're a survivor of a broken heart. There's not a lot of books. There's therapy for that, but a broken heart is still surviving something. It's almost the loss of someone. And so I really think that anybody can be a survivor. And that's really the message of this, is that, you know, a lot of people, some days, the main goal of today is to get up and survive. You know, especially if you have a mental illness that you're trying to get through, you know, there's a lot of different things that the focus is what can I do today? How can I be inspired today? How can I get through today, but in a way that makes me happy and passionate?
Yeah, it's about finding those small achievements. I always say that you need to have a small achievement. I think it was, there's this army cadet soldier who was doing the speech for university, and he said a very simple thing. He said, if you could just make your bed, that's a small achievement. And it's finding those small things in your day to really feel like you're moving forward and finding those fulfillments, whether it is getting your coffee from your local shop or whatever it is to find those things that make you fulfilled. And I think that there's a massive increase of mental illness at the moment. I suffer from mental illness as well, as much as everyone else, in terms of some of my friends are going through kind of like identity crisis, and because they've lost their jobs and they don't know what the purpose is and stuff. And I think it's about kind of communicating to each other and about saying, I'm not okay. Can we talk about something? Can we talk about this? And I think what you're saying about the survivor is touch upon loads of different things, loads of current issues that are happening at the moment in time. And I definitely know that I will be promoting your new brands so much on my own platform and also the 360 platform as well, because I'm such a also personal point of view as well. I was saying my mother had cancer a couple of years ago, and she's now also cancer-free, I think 8-9 years. So for me, also some personal that appreciation for what you're doing as well.
Thank you. Yeah, I started something this weekend with the company. And to what you're saying, the little things that matter, or the words of encouragement that can really help people no matter what they're going through. And even though I started with cancer, I searched the hashtag cancer survivors. I spent about 2 hours visiting different people's pages that were going through chemo or just survived, and like leaving a comment and a message and saying, you know, keep fighting, you'll get through this. And like just trying to give other people hope, even though they have no idea who I am, they don't know who the brand is. But I think, you know, sometimes social media gives you a way to connect with people that you normally can't, and to see a comment from someone who knows nothing about you but wants to understand and support you in the journey that you're taking, I think sometimes can go a long way.
True. I mean, it's just about getting up. I think it's a small things about getting up as well. Just getting out of bed is an achievement, and actually going to make yourself food and getting yourself out of the house is an achievement as well. I think the people underestimate the very small things in life, and especially at this moment in time where there, as I said at the beginning, there is so much uncertainty about what's happening with, and we were talking about earlier about what's happening in LA compared to what's happening in London, and things are getting slightly worse with restrictions and stuff. And so just simply going and being in that present moment and simply getting up and making yourself breakfast is a massive achievement at this moment in time, because we don't know what's going to happen, and we just got to hold on to each other.
And I was dealing a little bit with that in the beginning, because, you know, I rarely spent 5 to 6 hours a day in my apartment, and was literally to sleep. I was always traveling, always somewhere, very social light. So to be confined to my 900 square apartment, you know, in the very beginning of this, was tough. And getting up and making coffee or making sure I took a walk every day was a big thing. And I think that's another reason why I put a lot of energy into this business, was because it gave me motivation to get up and get excited, because I'm doing something not only for me, but for other people.
Yeah, that's just so true. And so what I always do is when I round off the kind of 360 episodes, I always say, what would be your life mantra that you would give back to someone else? Something that it could even be something like a quote or a phrase that when you're in your times of success, the happiness moments, or even times of doubt that you always remember, like what would you give to someone?
So I had to go through this exercise. A friend of mine owns a company called LeClay, and they're bands. And they basically are mantras and messages from people that are put on the band, and part of the proceeds go to a charity of the person whose mantra it is support. And what I chose was feel everything. And when the reason why I chose that is because before I got into music, and the reason why I made that commitment to get into music is because I'd kind of hit this rock bottom period in my life where I was very unhappy where I lived, what I was doing with my personal life. And I knew I needed to make a change. And all the things that I went through, I kind of realized that all throughout my life, which is why I had kind of hit this rock bottom place, is that I'd never really worked through things. I'd moved through things, you know, and I never really allowed myself to feel things. I was kind of like stone cold, keep going. You know, I had this very like militant athletic personality where it was like, no matter what, keep going. You know, I think I just always had that, like, even with injuries, I'd always had that, like, never, just keep going. And if it hurts, you're injured, like, just keep going.
Yeah.
And so I took a couple weeks to just really reflect on my life and start to feel all the things that I'd been through, from being a cancer survivor, some personal things that had happened with, you know, within my family, with a relationship, with a best friend, you know, things had all of a sudden kind of just like crumbled. And I never really taken the time to be like, why am I feeling like this? How can I work through it?
Yeah.
So I think that's a really big piece of advice that I would give to anyone, is that, you know, no matter what you're going through, whether it's happy or sad, we all, you know, kind of inherit a lot of emotions throughout our life, and to be able to feel them and understand them, and in order to move forward with your life, and instead of feeling like you're stuck, that's something that's always been really important to me. And so, yeah, I would encourage people to feel every emotion, even if it's heartbreak or it's depression or it's excitement, you know, like we have this ability to feel all these different things. So embrace it.
Yeah, it's so true. As someone once said to me, life is like a life monitor. when I talk a lot about breath, and breath is so life-giving. I mean, we only have no breath when we die, and like a life monitor goes up and down and up and down, and that's basically life. And if it's stagnant, it basically means that you're not living anymore. And so we need to like address these emotions that we're feeling when we are really up and when we are really down, and really do feel those emotions when we are up and we're at these parties and we're doing these amazing, brilliant projects. But then also the week later when you're at home and you're by yourself and you feel a bit crappy or whatever, it's about feeling all those emotions, because that's what life is all about. And not to feel them basically means that you're dead, you're stagnant. So I really do echo that kind of just feel it. Feel what you're feeling and give yourself that room to have that day when you need to feel a bit crappy, or to have that day when you need to feel that you need to jump with excitement and go for a run and whatever it is. Because I think a lot of people, and previously also me as well, that I would just kind of power through it, and I'd be like, I feel a bit meh, but actually I'm just gonna hit it, and I'm still gonna work, and I'm still, but actually now I go, you know what, I'm gonna take this day off and just let me feel what I'm feeling, and then I'll jump back on it tomorrow. And I'm really, really happy to email all my people, all my clients, and be like, you know what, today I'm just not going to do it today. I'm going to come back tomorrow and do it.
And I think that's okay. You know, I think even in the workplace, you know, I'm very fortunate to work for a place like Capital, because the executive staff and the leadership of the building has been really good about allowing people to take time from themselves at this time. Mm. You know, there's a lot of things between not just the pandemic, but, you know, there are family situations from people who have lost their jobs, or trying to distance learn with your child at home and working on top of that. Or yeah. You know, the whole, when the Black Lives Matter movement started, you know, because of George Floyd, there was a lot of anger, and rightfully so. But, you know, our leadership team kind of just sat down and addressed it and allowed everybody, like, take a minute. You know, if everybody processes things in a different way, and everybody feels things in a different way, and it's okay. There's a song I'm listening to right now. It's okay to not be okay.
Yeah.
And I love that idea, because it is, you know, there was a couple of weeks ago where I can't remember what it was now, but I was like, don't cry about this. Don't cry. And then I was like, just cry. And afterwards I was like, great. I cried for 10 minutes. And then after that, I was fine. I was like, man, I haven't had a good cry in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if it's like finding your, like the film, I always think mine is always The Notebook. The end scene of Notebook, it always makes me cry. And I'm like, if I need a good cry, I'll put The Notebook on and I'm going to have a good cry.
There's so many things. I think it's just because it's an emotional time for a lot of people, being like confined to their home and what's going on in the world. But there's so many TV shows and things that are making me cry these days. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to cry because I'm happy. I'm going to cry because I'm not, like.
Yeah, I shed a tear. I don't know about you. Schitt's Creek on Netflix, when they won all their Emmys, I actually shed a tear, because I connected with the story and with the writing so much. I was just so overjoyed at how much brilliant kind of accolade that they had from the Emmys. I just kind of shed a tear. I was like, absolutely, because there's hardly any kind of pieces of work like this on Netflix, and I was just overlated.
I have not seen Schitt's Creek. It is on my list. So
you have to. It's so brilliant, and such brilliant writing, and such brilliant stories and characters.
I've been told that, but my laundry list of things to watch these days in between work and running a side business is a little limited.
Yes.
But I mean, it'll happen. It'll happen.
One day. Well, anyway, I want to say thank you so, so much for giving me your time on this, on 360 Yourself. It's been brilliant to really talk to you and get to know you a lot better.
No, this was a wonderful conversation. I always love talking with good people, with good energy, who are doing good things in the world. And like I said earlier, I love your podcast, and I'm very grateful to have been a guest today.
Thank you very, very much. And so if you're all listening, please do rate and comment on our 360 Yourself on Apple Podcasts. We love when you engage with us. So please do share, do talk to us on our Instagram, and yeah, rate and comment on Apple Podcasts, and we're available on all listening platforms. So again, thank you very much for your time, my lovely.
All right. Thank you. Have a good rest of your day.
This is 360 Yourself, and I'm Jamie Neal. Thank you very much for taking a moment to listen to our wonderful guests. Please subscribe to our podcast to access all our brilliant guest episodes. They are released every Sunday at 12 p.m. We are available on all listening platforms: Spotify, Pocket Casts, Overcast, Google Podcasts, and Castro. You can also find us on Instagram at 360_yourself, Twitter at yourself360, and our host at Jamie Neal JN. Thank you for listening.